Good morning. Good morning to everyone on the camera at home. So we are, if you're just joining us today or you've been gone, we're walking through 1 John, a letter written by John to believers. And so we're trying to take a look at this and asking the Holy Spirit to write this on our hearts. And as the shepherd over this flock, that's the metaphor that Jesus gave to us. I assume, I've never been a shepherd of sheep, but I imagine if you were a shepherd, you'd have a plan for the day. And if you would go out into the fields, like whatever your plan was would be like shot in favor of what the sheep need. So what you're going to find is we'll get a little bit off track. Praise God, right? And if I'm not getting off track, please come tell me, Will. Every week you just keep doing the next verse and you don't ever get off track, because then I'm probably not walking in the Spirit. So what happened last week, 1 John took us into what was known as the greatest commandment. And based on the feedback from you and in my own life, we can't move on from this yet. We can't keep going in 1 John without talking a little bit more about this. And so that's my prayer, Lord. I ask that you bring your truth here, Lord, that I wouldn't be one tickling ears or telling people what they want to hear, but instead to speak the truth that you speak through me, the truth that's in your written word, Lord, the letters that your early believers, their witness, their testimony, Lord, as well as the lessons you're teaching us in life and what you're pointing out in culture that's leading to destruction. So I pray that you would speak through me today, Lord, that it would be your words, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Title doesn't matter. 1 John. So let's take a look here. 1 John, I think it's important that maybe we just talk about where we've been a little bit so I can kind of build on this. So just a couple notes. So John wrote to believers to address some of the lies, the misunderstandings, the misconceptions that were amongst the believers, right? He, as a church father, he began to follow Jesus as a young man. Right now, he's gotten into the older years, has been part of bodies of believers, and he's writing this as he's getting older. He wanted them to understand a couple things, and these things are so true and so important in our lives now. And I know because I'm a people too, and these are really important to me, and I'm seeing this in my home. And I want to share with you not just the message for this church, but what I know the Holy Spirit is talking through men and women throughout our nation, throughout our world, because these things reign true now. And they might have reigned true in all the generations, but we're not called to every generation, but to ours, right? So a couple things. First of all, he wanted them to know you can't walk in darkness and expect to walk with Jesus. You just can't. He is in the light, not in the darkness. If you're walking in dark ways, you're not with him nor where he is. True, right? How many times you or other people around you are like, God, where are you? I'm not in the darkness with you, that's for sure. That's God's answer, right? Also, he went to say, if you say that you have no sin, you are lying and the truth is not in you. But good news, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's great news. John also says that our goal, what we're aiming for, should be to not sin. But if we sin, the great news is that we have Jesus, right, who is, he is this advocate for us with the Father. And then he goes on to tell them, and this is how you'll know that you know Jesus, if you keep his commandments, if you follow his instructions. That's how you know that you've come to know Jesus. And whoever keeps Jesus' word, in him truly the love of God is perfected, the love of God. And then he goes on and he says, I'm writing to you about an old command and kind of a newer command. But they go together, right? And that's where we got kind of stuck last week. He wanted This was, first of all, it was given a long time ago to the people of God by a guy named Moses, this first command. And then Jesus, then he reminded them of that. He says, here's a new commandment I give to you. And this is kind of where we got stuck, okay? So now you're caught up if you weren't here last week. The first one is Jesus referring to the old command given by Moses. And it reads like this. This is how it's recorded by Mark in Mark 12, verses 29 through 31, if you're taking notes. Jesus answered, right, they asked Jesus, out of all the commandments, out of all the law of Moses, what's the most important thing? And then that's when Jesus answered. He said, the most important is, and he quotes, okay, he quotes what Moses said and wrote, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love the neighbor, your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And then in John 13, he's talking to his disciples, and he says, a new commandment I give unto you. Okay? That you love one another, just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So what I'd like to call your attention to is the reason that we're here, if you're in here, whether you're on this page or not, the reason why I'm here is that we would bring glory to God, that we would worship him, that we would follow Jesus, becoming more and more like him throughout time. So this is what Jesus said is the most important thing. Okay. So let's just take a deep breath. This is what Jesus said is the most important thing. I mean, Gary, I would think if Jesus said that, then I wouldn't be wasting your time if we just talked about this all the rest of our days. Right? Okay, so here's what we ran into. Here's some problems. Here's some problems based on what God has shown me, conversations with some of you. I've got great teachers in my life, the people around me. My wife is a great teacher. When we talk about the Lord, other ministers who have mentored me, who speak and who write, and every one of the believers who wrote down their testimonies, all these men, and the women and their stories, like all of these things are great teachers for us. And so this draws off of all of that. So here's some problems that I can identify with my simple mind, okay? So you probably know more. Bear with me here, right? First thing. Big problem. We've been given the wrong definition of love. Last week, we went into that with a little bit more detail. But the reality is that love can only be, right, can only be seen by the expression of love. Love is not like a thing to talk about, but it's a thing to do. It is an action that you do. It is choosing to favor somebody. And so it's not a feeling so much, because feelings are fickle. It is a choice. And within being loving, as defined by Paul in the letter to the Corinthians, I mean, love is a lot of things. It's patience. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's kind, but it also doesn't celebrate lies. It celebrates truth. So sometimes love is like someone who doesn't deserve it is treated with great gentleness. Do you see Jesus do that? Yeah, if you take a look through the story of Jesus' life recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that. You'll see Jesus was like kind to people that didn't seem to earn it and deserve it. And then the people that thought they were doing well, sometimes he came strongly against them, because love does not rejoice in lies, in darkness. It celebrates truth. So sometimes love says, you just need a hug, right? Or kindness, or a drink of water, or whatever it is. And sometimes love is like, that's not true. Stop doing that. And in our culture, that's not how we define love. Especially on today, right? Valentine's Day. It's our feelings. You feel, I fell out of love. Like, there's no falling, there's choosing. And I say that as the biggest sucker of all, right? Because I'm a very feeling person. Too much so. It's gotten me in a lot of hurt and trouble and hurt lots of people around me. But this is the wrong definition of love. I mean, that alone is a huge problem. If I start saying love God, love others, and love yourself, and you have a wrong definition of love, I mean, right, it's already shot, right? Okay, next observation. Loving others, okay, this is the difficult part. Loving people who are being unloving to you is difficult, right? Like, you don't feel like loving somebody who's not treating you right. Right? That's why love can't insist on its own way. That's why love can't make a list of wrongs. Right? And in your closest relationships, that's where it's easy to keep a list of wrongs. Right? Or in an environment like church where there's a family, we hurt one another and we don't forgive one another. We keep a list of wrongs, but that's not love. Loving people who are being unloving is difficult. And then the other problem that I really saw in a lot of conversations that I had with people last week, in the last week, was this. How can we love others if we do not love ourselves? It's a fair question. So here's a problem. Over time, here's a truth. Here's a truth bomb for you that I shared last week that was shared with me, which I know is true. Over time, we will treat those closest to us just as we treat ourselves. Let me illustrate this for you, okay? I'm a person, although very selfish, right? Come from a huge family. Our family's been in one community for 100 years. Lots of people know my last name. And so throughout my life, I acted in such a way when I went into public, like there was no hiding, okay? So I was concerned about other people. I was concerned about the name and the image of my family. And so that's just how we lived, right? But once I became a husband and a father, I expected my wife and kids to kind of feel the same way, but their reality was not mine, you know? Like, Brandy and I are 19 getting married, and it's kind of like, okay, we lived in such a way where it was like, man, there. If you were at my wedding, some of you were, there's like a lot of people, because once you start your list, you get into the people-pleasing of, if I don't invite them and their dog, they're going to be hurt, right? Okay? But that's how I treated Brandy and my kids the same way, of course, right? And as a pastor, like, yeah, I just want to spend myself on you and the congregation. So, of course, Brandy's going to be okay with me spending myself on them and not her. Of course, Johnny and Tyler and Jordan will be okay because I'm treating them how I treat myself. And I see my kids stressed out trying to get straight A's. Where did they get that garbage from? Me. That's how I treated myself. Without that grace, without that patience, hard driving and charging and doing and doing and doing and doing and falling apart inside. So the people closest to me, even though it didn't seem evil, it did great harm to them, because over time, you will treat those closest to you just as you treat yourself. If you're hard on yourself, strangers, man, they can steal your car and you don't care, but the people closest to you, you will be hard on them. So that's why it said, love others as you love yourself. And another truth, you can't fake anything for long. Not forever with the people that come in contact with you. And this is a lesson that God's been teaching me over and over again. Good teachers, right, in my own family. You can't fake it for long. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. This was shared by Jesus in Luke 6:45. So it's true. It's true. It'll come out eventually, right? And then in Numbers 32:23, part of that says, be sure your send will find you out. And so sometimes we use that to mean like, uh-oh, you're going to get caught. Not necessarily. But there is a consequence. We live in a reality where you reap what you sow, right? There is a consequence to everything, even in the midst of forgiveness, right? Anyone have a blended family? Okay, consequence, right? God will forgive you for divorce. That's a fact. However, you will live in the consequence of that sin, aka stepmoms, dads, mixed families. Praise God that some of us, if we listen to God, and now if we don't do this anymore, if we can stop this dynamic that I see the poor people struggle with, okay? There is a consequence. Be sure your sin will find you out. Sin will come for you. Consequence will come for you. You can't fake it. If you're hard on yourself, it will come out. Look at every ministry leader that's falling right now. Sure, eventually the fruit of their sin, the fruit of your heart, the fruit of your feelings, the fruit of your actions, it will come out. You can't fake it for long. Here's where it looks like more subtly. Pastor saying, okay, and I still don't know this, my friends, because pastor saying, here's truth, and then you looking at their lives and they're not living it. Okay. Women telling other women, oh, you're beautiful and everyone loves you, when they think nobody loves them and they're not beautiful. Men saying, you're going to be strong and don't cry, and then they go cry and feel weak in the dark. Like, we can't keep being dishonest. We're beings being transformed by a loving God through his truth. And so all of us have to treat ourselves and others like that. But we can't fake it. So, also then, interesting enough, have you noticed this? Most people seem to be unhappy, right? Unhappy. And they seem to be so unhappy with themselves. They seem to hate themselves. Like, self-hatred is huge. And they handle themselves in destructive ways, right? We do things like, hey, that's spray paint. You know what's really cool? If you hate your, you can breathe that in, kill brain cells, maybe yourself, but escape reality for a minute. And you're like, sign me up, right? No, we do stupid, destructive things. We just do. I do too. Like, you know at the center of you what you're doing is just not like, oh, right? You just know it's not. It's kind of like, you know, everything that we consume. I'm sure that's okay, Chris. I mean, hey, you know, like the first 10 ingredients are some sort of chemical, but like, that sounds good, right? Like, yeah, like you go and you look at the cheese pizza at the convenience store, you just know it's not really pizza. But for some reason, you want that more, right? You like want to destroy yourself, really. And then we're so depressed and stressed and anxious and insecure, like every teenager is anxious. Like every one of them, every adult is anxious. Like everyone's depressed and anxious. Insecure. I mean, it's exhausting, really. That's probably why I have a huge water bottle today. It's exhausting to watch because I see all of us, including me. What's that? That's why you have a job, exactly. Some of the healthcare professionals are like, mental health care, like, this is exactly why I have a job, yeah. And we can't argue that that's true, that's how people feel. But here's what blows my mind. Even though your greatest enemy is you, even though we're tremendous enemies to ourselves, we're more self-centered, self-concerned, self-absorbed, self-defensive than anything, right? I mean, even in our attempts, like, sorry for me going off a tangent here, but even in our attempts to be about something beyond ourselves, it's like the stink of self-promotion and pride is all over it. Right? Like, I mean, you just see it. I mean, here's an example. This is a thing that we didn't have when I was a kid. You guys are all, everyone is an activist and an influencer. I don't know if there's like a test you take online so you can get those titles, but, right? House mom, yoga enthusiast, influencer, and activist, right? Okay, guys, put your brains on for a minute here. If you care, okay, let's just say racial inequality, okay? That's a huge one right now. Everyone's an activist. Like those poor professional athletes that make millions of dollars a year since they were 16, it must be rough being a minority for them. If they could only have a chance to, you know, succeed in life. That's not for you to talk about, dude. It's not about you. Quit making it about you. But I'm an activist and I'm an influencer. So buy my shoes and listen to what I have to say about the way the world works. right? You get into an election year, they ask every actor, what is an actor, what's their specialty about the election or like the COVID virus? Well, the actor said this about the corona. Did he go to medical school? Like, what kind of stupidity do we live in? Like, and if I'm about something, be about that and not about myself. But I do it too. I'm just as stupid, even though I haven't taken that online test to be an influencer or an activist. Like, you want to draw attention. I mean, did I do that again with the water bottle? I mentioned, why did you even need to know I had a huge water bottle? Like, we're awful attention hogs. And it's stupid. It doesn't make sense. I'm here to point you to God, not to me. Like, you follow me, you're going to go off a cliff. Right? Amen. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Right? All of that. I hope more and more, right? I join Paul in saying, man, I want to be more like Christ. So more and more, you can say, I want to go where you're going because you're going with Christ, Will. But even in us caring about everything else above ourselves, like, I care so much about the, you know, baby seals that I wrote a song that made me $1 million about it, right? Like, no, it's self-promotion, pride. Like, instead, what you would do is you'd get on there and say, yeah, I'd go and try to help a baby seal instead of make an album about it, right? I wouldn't be a influencer and activist. I would be an activist if that's what I really cared about. So it's weird, right? And I'm not so sure I'm going to even give you the answer to that today. But I don't know how you and I can dislike ourselves so much. I think God has revealed some of this to me, and I think it's to come. More of this is to come. How can, first of all, I love you as I love myself if I'm unloving to myself? And then, right, like, how can I, being so selfish, hate myself so much at the same time? It just doesn't make sense. Even in your self-hatred, it's all about you. Right? Well, check out what the scripture said about this. Paul wrote to Timothy. You guys know Timothy's relationship to Paul? Okay, what is it? Kind of like a son, right? It's an older man who's been walking in faith, trying to minister to a younger man who's trying to walk into faith and be a pastor and shepherd people. So I think there's a lot, right? Because I understand, even the smartest thing I can say, I'm still limited by the fact that I've only been an adult for like 20 years, okay? And some of you have forgotten more than I know. I get that. Like, you know things I don't know. And so Paul is a man who's lived more years and encountered more things and more time with God, has something to offer to the younger man. And here's what he's telling Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says this, "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come." Uh-huh. Right? He's right. Just so you know, last days, when you see that, that means any time after Jesus came. That's what it means. If you, I looked at it, I studied it, and it's just all the different things. It's referring to that. I don't know the day that Jesus is coming back. But you and I should live, if we're living wise, what we'll do is we'll live like there's no way we're dying and he's coming back before we die. And then when you die, guess what? You're not a fool because you believe that. You lived your life right if you believe that. Because Paul, John, Peter, all of them, I mean, they got to the point where they knew death was coming, but they started off thinking any day, especially all the first disciples who watched him, they stood there like he's coming right back, like he's using the bathroom and he's coming back. No. And the angel's like, why are you looking? Go, because he'll come back and you'll see him when he comes back, right? In the last days, now, difficult times will come. For people will be lovers of self. True? Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips. That's bad, right? Gossip. Without self-control. Amen, right? A lot of us. Brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such people as these. And then he goes on to say in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4, he says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Wow. That's convicting for me. Because, I mean, hey, I'm afraid I've done this. Have I tried to itch your ears? Have I left out some of the truth in favor of you instead of trying to please God? Forgive me, God, for doing that. I don't want to do that. Like, I want to, this is happening now. People are lovers of self, and so they don't want to hear the truth because it hurts. They don't want to hear the truth because it means they got to give up something. They don't want to hear the truth because it makes them uncomfortable. I know because I'm a people, and I've been resistant to these things. But the rod of God who disciplines those who he loves, sons and daughters, that's what he's up to. That's what he's up to. See, so what we have here is I'm in the presence in a room full of small g gods, is what it's saying. Like, every one of us, we begin the elevation of self or worship of self, of me, of what I want, what I need, and or desire. Like, that is the age of our culture. It is all about you. You have your own truth. You do you, I'll do me, right? Well, whatever your truth is, bro. No, truth is truth. You don't get to write that. But our culture says that, and it's infiltrated our church because we act just like the culture. I know it says that, well, but you don't understand my situation. I know I don't, but truth is truth. And that's what I'm asking God. How can we have the heart that God gave us for people, for him, and love, and but still stand on that truth? See, our self, our flesh, our wants, our desires, our belly, as it says, has become our God. And I mean, we all know it's true. We know it's true. Because the truth is, you guys are probably already starting to get hungry. The weather's cold, you'll feel cold, you'll feel thirsty, you'll feel hungry. Many of you might want to be touched today. Many of you might want to be left alone. Many of you will be tired because of the week that you had. You won't want to offer anything. Many of you will try to medicate that pain with some kind of substance or food or sex. Husbands will want their wives, and wives may want their husbands in this way. Like, all these things will come at play today. Your wants, your desires, your belly. And if you live today just to feed those things, then who is your God? You. What the Bible calls self or flesh. But see, here's the difficult thing teaching you is principle-based, and this is what I feel. Man, forgive me, God, for treating people before me that handle this word like with such arrogance. Because what a difficult thing. There's terms out that are self-care or soul care. And it is true that it's not all about you, okay? The Bible makes that very clear. Like, this life is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. What Christ is wanting is you to be a living sacrifice. I know it might sound really weird and it's easy for me to say because I'm not faced with the choice of death, but at least if you had to just die for Christ, then you have to bear with it for maybe like a week or something until they killed you. But this is what God is saying, being a living sacrifice for like 70, 80 years. Be a living sacrifice. All the wants, the needs, will you lay them aside for what God wants? And if he wants to give you those things, he will, but will you give him everything in turn? I heard it said, give up everything for everything. You give up everything, he gives you everything you need. So this is why principle-based, and this is what everyone wants, and this is what the preachers and teachers try to do. Like, here's the principle, now live the principle. Ugh. But principles aren't wrong. But understand this. It isn't all about you. Okay? But God wants you to take care of yourself, to love yourself. Like Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4, he called him the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God gives to you and you give out. So, man, you know, Terry, like, give everything you got to God, but take everything he has for you, because you're going to need the juice to do it. It's that same principle on the airplane. Hey, put your mask on before you put it on your kid, because if you pass out, you're no good for your kid. And so there's these terms, self-care or soul care. Another thing that's a real big topic that we need to look at is you are created, right, for a certain thing. You're created to live at a certain pace. And we've gone far away from that. Amen, Brandy, right? We talked a lot about this. This is something Brandy has seen so clearly. Like you and I, when God created us and would have put us in the garden, we would have been governed, right, by the sun. You know, working during the day, sleeping at night. We would have eaten a certain way. We would have, even in our scripture reading, like we read Jesus as like, he healed the blind man and then, oops, then he raised this guy from the dead and then he saved this lady. And then he went here and then he fed 5,000 and you're like, that's a crazy busy day. And so you do that. We give ourselves no permission, right? We treat others as we treat ourselves. We give ourselves no permission to slow down, to let our souls catch up with the activity of our life. The truth is, if you had the whole story from the scripture, you'd say, yeah, he fed this 5,000, and then they spent 3 or 4 days walking and camping out and talking and eating and drinking from wells, and then they went and did this. But you and I, it's like the cell phone. If in 3.2 seconds they don't text you back, how rude. And so I find myself, it's almost like, you know, the alarm clock. Anyone else hate the alarm clock? You're like, ah, my nightmares, right? Because you do that for so many years. Now our cell phones have become that. It's like they go off and you're like, oh, something, somewhere, someone wants something from me. And every time it goes off, because you treat yourself that way, now I expect when I text you in 3.5 seconds, you better get back to me, right? Guys, we do have to care for ourselves, and that's really another discussion, but there is this balance. We have a Lord with an impossible balance for you to keep in your own power, because you got to give up everything of yourself, and you got to take care of yourself. Well, that was really helpful, Will. Thank you for confusing. You're welcome. Okay, we'll keep going on. But here's the call that we need to take this more seriously. Like Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Maybe some of the most disheartening scriptures out there for Christians. Jesus said in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Okay. That alone, right? Just because you're calling me Lord doesn't mean you enter the kingdom of heaven. That's trouble. It's going to get worse. Okay. "But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." On that day, right, what day is that? When this all ends, right? "Many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" And lawlessness can be confusion too. And don't you see that? Because here, guys, this is troublesome. This is troublesome because what he's saying is there's going to be people not only who called you Lord, but also did like Christian work. Did like miraculous things like healings and stuff like that. They're going to have done those things and had the appearance of godliness, as he said, in without the substance. And those people aren't even getting in. And that's the problem. I think that's why we need to be bringing truth in the church, because you got to know what you're signing up for. It's like when they trick you, you move into the subdivision. No one told you about that homeowners association. Right? Like, yeah, the mortgage is $1,000, but it's $500 to use the dirty pool, right? Like, ugh, I wish I would have known that. Like, I got to tell you what you're getting into, because in this church will be non-Christians who were baptized three times and went to Sunday school. It's a fact. I hope not. I hope by the time we're done, that's not the case. All these young people, we're giving them a foundation, but Lord, please, man, have them make it their own, because they're going to watch their parents screw it up and they're going to have to choose for themselves. That's probably why Paul made this statement, like working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I mean, I think we get confused, because then you're like, ooh, that kind of fits into like I lose my salvation theology, so I don't even want to read that. I whited that out of my Bible and this one, because I don't like how they sound. No, but get this, okay? The problem is the words, right? We're being saved, which is an action of once being saved, and also being saved, which is an action of being saved over a period of time. Let me illustrate this for you. You ever been driving or doing something else, and out of the corner of your eye, like a car comes by or something, and you're like, man, that was like 3 feet from me dying or getting close to it. Like, I was saved by something, saved from death and destruction in that moment, saved, okay? But 12 years ago, I made the great escape from corporate banking, okay, which I was in for 7 years. Looking at the lives of the people I left behind in that industry, I've been being saved over the last 12 years from what was going to happen to me, little by little. And it didn't look like that, like an averted. It looked like I said, no, I'm not going to go take another bank job. And I went and I stocked beer and sold insurance. That was being saved over time. So work out your being saved over time with fear and trembling. And fear of who? Fear of who? God, right? But we got to take this seriously. So all that to say, I imagine these people who are like, Lord, Lord, right? And just like feeling it. Yeah. Right? They're feeling it. You need to be told this. Your feelings may mislead you. They will try to form your understanding, but they are insufficient and inadequate to do so. It's like the disciples, right? They've seen Jesus do all this stuff, and they get in the boat, and they're like, oh, dude, where's the bread? And he's like, you got to be kidding me. You've seen me make food appear from nothing. They're just feelings. I'm hungry. Like, where's the bread, Jesus? Jeez. Or all the Israelites leaving Egypt. Why'd you save us from Egypt? Just let us starve to death in the wilderness, right? Or they're in the storm. Oh, God, help us. Please, Jesus, help us. The storm is going. And he's like, really? Your feelings are like the wind. Your feelings are like this boat rocking. This is how my feelings are. This is illustrated by Proverbs 14, 12 through 13. There's a way that seems right to a man. There's a way that feels right to you. But its end, its way, is death. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and at the end, joy may become grief. If you keep doing what you feel like doing, it creates one thing, death and destruction. Your feelings should not lead. Your feelings cannot be the primary thing. Otherwise, you might be that person like, Lord, Lord, I had these emotional experiences for you. And he says, I don't know you. You never even did it. You didn't ask God what he wanted from you. Like, if I'm to add words there, right? It sounds like so many of us, like, how many people only get their Bible from what other people tell them? How many people only feel close to God when they're listening to worship music and it engages their feelings? But here's another lie. So then we've been taught, because of that truth, that your feelings, man, are bad. Bad. Feelings bad. No, no. No, no feelings. How does that work? How do you see young men and women, like, how does this act in the people who are older than you if you try to pretend you don't have these feelings? What does it look like? You can speak up. Come on. People are falling asleep, so come help me out. What does it look like? Not true. You're falling asleep too. Yeah, it looks like not truth. I can say that whole, like, I pretend I don't feel, that doesn't work. Feelings are, in fact, a great barometer of where your mind and heart is at, right? But feelings should be brought to Jesus, right? Like, if I'm in the boat and the storm comes and Jesus is on the water, and instead of, like, Jesus, like freaking out, like, oh, I'm going to die. Like, instead of them saying, okay, Jesus, I know you're going to stop this, right? But I need your help because this is getting worrisome. I don't think he would have condemned that behavior, right? Or, Jesus, I'm feeling hungry. You got some more magic bread or something, right? Like, what are you going to, I mean, that would be a different than the whining. So it's like, you and I, we should, our feelings should be brought to Jesus, and then he brings truth. And that truth to our heart, right, which comes through where? Through our mind. It goes into our mind, it comes to our heart, and it either confirms and supports what we're feeling, or it will actually transform the thinking and therefore transform our feeling. Like so many times when I counsel with people, it's like this, well, I feel like, and this was me too, but I feel like they're saying this. If you ask the other person, did they say that? Or did you say that? No. Thinking and feeling, there's a different balance here, but your feelings do have power, and they feel really true until truth is brought in. And then it's either confirmed or it's replaced. And that's why it wrote in Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Like, guys, good, take care of your soul. Be aware of your thinking. But have a close enough relationship with the Lord where you can bring these feelings to him. And that he can bring truth into that. Like, I don't want to give you some heartless thing. Yes, your feelings will deceive you. If you want to live right from your belly, good luck. You know where it leads. I don't want to do that. But here's a cool truth I got from something I was reading, even with my son. Back to this example. So isn't it weird that we can struggle so much with how we were selfish and self-centered, yet we hate ourselves? And so our feelings are all over the place. Like, I did good, so I feel good about myself right now. Or you feel good about me, so I feel good about myself. But then I make a mistake, I feel bad about myself. Or you reject me, I feel bad about myself. And so we're like that boat, and we're a mess. And we're on pills, and we're eating this, drinking this, touching this, watching this, right? Whatever it is. What is it, Lord? And that's what I'm praying, Lord, like, help me understand. Because I know that you aren't going to love other people if you don't have a security and a love in yourself. But if I tell you love yourself, then you're going to chase all these world systems of self-worship, which is not helpful either. Get this. Crazy story. It's a good Sunday school story for you here. Okay, David, King David, he had kids. If you got kids, you know it doesn't always go like you plan. So he has a son. And I'll call him in my Prescott Valley accent, Amnon. And he had a daughter named Tamar. And apparently, Tamar was beautiful, probably like Brandy, right? Like really beautiful. And so her own brother had all these desires for her. Like he wanted to be with her in a sexual way. And so he pretended he was sick so that she would make him bread in his presence and have him come and he send all the servants out. He overpowered her. He raped her. Not PG stuff, right? The Bible's real life. But then it records this in 2 Samuel, but this is what it says about it. In 2 Samuel 13:15, then Amnon hated her, which is Tamar, with a very great hatred. So that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love in which he had loved her. And it's quite puzzling at first, maybe 12 reads. But he loved her so much. He just had to have her, right? Like it consumed him. Like he loved her so much. And then after he gave in to that, he hated her with a hatred even greater than he loved her. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I see it. It's true that you and I can be so focused on ourselves, so focused on our wants and our needs, that in the service of yourself, you'll end up hating the very thing you're serving. And that hatred could go greater than the love you have. I see it now. I don't know, maybe you see it too. Like, we're so desperate in our culture, like, do whatever you got to do to feel okay and to feel happy. But you know what? A creative place in you. I mean, you're fighting against the created order for you. And in the service of that self, in that desperate need to be the influencer and the activist, to be important, to be significant, you hate yourself because you serve yourself with such a great passion. There it is. Then there's also the less deep truth about lies. Okay. I mean, you look at me, I don't got six-pack abs, okay? There's beautiful people all over the world, right, who focus a lot on their appearance. And then when these beautiful people get together, the result is it's not good, right? You can see this on TV. Because the reality of it, the lie is that, like, yeah, my wife should do this and do that, but, like, man, like, when you're really in life, I mean, I know everyone's life has a different place, but when you're in life, like having kids, you get the coronavirus, you don't sleep in because you've got kids to take care of. You don't eat kale smoothies for every meal, wax your chest, go get suntanned when your kids has algebra to do. You just don't. And if Brandy divorces me and brings in some bro who's got to shave his chest every, I can barely find time to shave my head, right? And when I do, I come out and everyone's like, where have you been? I'm like, right? It's true, right? And like a mom is like, I can't even go to the bathroom. It's my only sacred place. And you still got fingers coming. Mom, where are you? Right? Like, right? Like, this is the reality. If you move the Chad into your room, into your house, he's going to be no kind of dad and husband, even though his six-pack abs look good, right? And that girl, right, who just eats salads, she's really angry because she hasn't had bread in like 7 years. I mean, she looks good on the magazine, but the reality is she's not what you want or what you need. So you're comparing yourself to that. Other people are comparing themselves to that. And you're like, Jackie, you know what I need to do today, man? I need to like have great time with the Lord, like worship, read, and run 6 miles, right? And shave my head and chest and do tons of sit-ups, right? And like then have some kale smoothie. While I'm at it, I need to get my kids up for school and like feed them breakfast. And they're not going to want a kale smoothie. And then get them to school. And then try to work. And then try to do that. And then try to become profound in my thoughts, right? And do something for the world, right? Become an activist and an influencer and post to your social. Goodness gracious. Impossible. No wonder we hate ourselves. Like, it's an impossible feat to accomplish to please yourself. Impossible. We become idols, and we're a really bad idol and a really bad servant to that idol. So in our failed attempt, our disappointment, our hope deferred makes our hearts sick. It makes us hate ourselves. Our abandonment of our created order to live our life more about other people than ourselves, that's missing. It becomes toxic. We hate ourselves and we worship ourselves. America. See, when feelings trump truth, everyone and everything will disappoint and fall short. The force, and to get this on top of that, like once you're already feeling that way, the enemy's like, ah, yes, this is great. The forces of darkness, Satan, the enemy, his demons, even the insecurity of other people, man, he's a master manipulator. Like he is the god of this world, small g. He's the author of confusion. He's the father of lies. And it's like Eve. It's what he did to her at the very beginning. So did God really say you can't eat from that tree? Because it sure looks good. Well, yeah, you know, he's just holding out on you. You'll be like him. Oh, so God's holding out on me. Like the suggestion. He didn't make her chew, put the fruit in her mouth, make Adam do it. Like he knew it. He knew Adam was crazy about his wife. He loved her. He would follow whatever she was going to do. And he knew if he could just sow that seed. So you're already hating yourself. You're already disappointed. And then he just does this. It's true. Your dad's a jerk. I know, right? Like, my dad's a jerk. Your wife did God really want you to marry her? I know, right? Or like, my boss, they're just using me for this. I know, right? And then you run with it. Like the forces of darkness, they take our feelings, they twist them, they lie, they suggest, they confuse until the point those feelings turn nuclear and they blow up your life. This is where we are now. This is where we are now. This is why I can't start by telling you, and I've tried this, it really didn't work, by trying to tell you to love others or tell you to try loving yourself. Like, you got to do those things, but we can't start with there. Paul referred to the transformation of your mind and thinking, not your feelings, because he knew your feelings and your actions would follow your mind and understanding. There's a reason why you do, like my friend said, of course I think I'm doing the right thing, otherwise I wouldn't do what it is I'm doing. I'm doing it because I think it's the right thing to do, right? So change my mind, God, about what the right thing to do is. Here's the summary. Let me open the door to my house the last like 18 months. Okay, Brandy, testify that this is true. There's a lot of things God's been teaching us, but what he's showing us is he created things a certain way in a certain order. And every time we go away from that, chaos. Chaos. And so it's a further surrender of servants, slaves of God, to give those things up in favor of his order. So that's what Jesus was saying. Did you notice how Jesus was always like, well, I'm here to do the work of my Father. I'm here to do the one who sent me. He was basically saying, it's all about God and I'm here for him. I don't care what you say. Like, I don't fear you. I fear God. I fear the Father. I'm here about his business. He had the order right. First thing, love God. And we look at this, you see, and we think of a list because that's how we preach it, bullet points. So you're like, check, check, check. Okay, love God, love people, love, okay, love as I love myself. But wrong, that's wrong. Anytime I did that, I'm sorry, that was wrong. Here's truth. It builds. Loving God always has to be the foundation. It's always first. It's always first. Only from that do you have a foundation to even love yourself. See, Jesus, he knew God. He knew God's love. Why do you think out of all the things that God said to Jesus when he got baptized and he came out, he said, this is my son of whom I'm well pleased. Like, he knew he got God's love. So that loving himself and being confident in who he is was just a natural result or byproduct of God's love. And that's why we're going about it so different. Like, I'm trying here, we're all trying to expel ourselves to minister to your basic needs, when really what you need to do is know that who God is and how much he loves you. It's foundational. We love why? Because he first loved us. And then loving others comes after that. And see, really loving others is sacrificial. Really loving others is like, I don't care what you do to me back or what you did to me first. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do to you based on what God has told me. And I can do that because I'm not afraid of what you do. The worst you could do is hurt my body. Like, geez, Corey, the worst you could do is kill me, man, and then thank you, because then I'm done, right, with this. This is the hard part. I think we forget that. This was not supposed to be the good part. This is the hard part. Right? Will, would you like to go back to being like 18 and start it again? No. You know why? Because I would blow it again, right? So let's just keep growing and learning and get to the complete. So from that, it's really a pyramid, if anything. It builds upon one another. It's a house. There's a foundation, loving God. And when you love God, you can love others, right? Because he first loved you. And you can't even love God without him. And then once you do, you have that, then it's like, Natalia, I can love you. Well, what if she's lying to you? I don't care. Like, it'll be found out, and then we probably won't be friends anymore, right? At some point. What if she has bad motives? Well, I guess they'll be shown at some point in time. What if she uses you? Well, then use away. I got the fountains of life, living water flowing down from the throne room of heaven onto me. So why is it that I can't love others or myself like Jesus is asking me to. It's this, the power of love to serve others, which is what loving is, long term, regardless of circumstance, regardless of what they're doing to you, that power is not yours. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible. You're running on a treadmill, going nowhere. And so am I. That power, it comes from the Holy Spirit and the love you have for God. We love because God first loved us. Start there. Start there. We love because God first loved us. Love God. Hey, Will, I'm actually, so here's kind of what I'm hearing. Man, you know, I kind of hate people because they always disappoint, right? So that's convicting when you tell me to love them. And it kind of makes me feel bad, like I got to be super nice to everyone. Well, first of all, that's not what I'm saying. How do I love other people? Love God. Well, how do I love God? Get his love. That sounds selfish. It's absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary. Here's where I need your help before we close, before we pray. Unfortunately, I think in our system, we just see each other for an hour and a half on Sundays and then peace out, like, and you're gone. Help each other out right now. How is it that you have learned? Because the thing is, even though we don't get that, like, we've got glimpses, right? How is it that you've learned to receive God's love? Help me out and help each other out. Like, in real practical ways where you're at. See, because me now, I get paid. Part of my job is to read this stuff. But you guys are doing this on top of 1,000 other things. So let's get real and honest. How do you get God's love? Share with each other. So, like, sharing with each other about, like, what, like, God, about what he's done, about what you've read or something. Okay, yeah. What's that? Show love to each other. Yeah. Pray for others. Serving others. Fellowship. So in the surroundings of other people. Yeah, with other people. What answer, Brandy? You got an answer. I know it. I know. That was in the marriage contract. How else? By connecting with him through prayer and reading, you said? Yeah. Yeah. And see, that's the crazy thing. Like, in our pride, in our service of self, what we've hated is being Bible thumped over the head. And so what we've done is we've put these things away. We've put them away and we can't, because it's like, oh man, I mean, you see, this is about who God is. It's about the story of the people of God and all of God's friends. It's letters written to you by people like John who've actually walked this out. There's, like, ancient ways that they've learned and things they've walked through, you know? And so this is supposed to be a help to us. And so instead of being like a requirement, right? You know, it's like, that's what Brandy had said to me. She's like, man, I gotta, like, have this every day. Like, that's the transformation of your mind. And if you do that, I'm telling you, it'll make a difference. Like, and so me, I've been a little resistant to that, because the truth is, guys, this isn't everything. This is the starting of everything. God's everything. I get that. And we've been told wrong sometimes about that. Where do we go to lunch today? Taco Bell. No, it doesn't say that, okay? It's not what this is. It's not the genie Jesus, but who God is. And then you're going to find things like, I love you, God. Okay, well, then why do you do nothing I ask you to do? Oh, dang, I guess I'm not loving you. Help me, Lord, to receive your love, that yet while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Oh, okay. You see how that makes a difference? I'm not doing enough, God. It wasn't about you doing it. But because of what I've done for you, you're going to want to obey me. It's no different. You can't be a good mom and not pay attention to your kids. You can't be a good mom and be like, well, I haven't bathed, fed, clothed my kids who are 5 years old since they were one. I just leave them to do whatever, feral dogs and cats around my house. You know, like, that's not loving. You can't say I love you and then not do the things you need or want. A husband can't right? Love his wife unless he's serving her in a way. A wife can't love her husband. A father to a son to a father, a friend to a friend. Like, oh, and that's what this is what this holds you to. The Holy Spirit has the power to convict the world of sin and righteousness. He's like, Will, check this out. In your love for people, are you losing the truth of God? Are you tickling their ears? Oh, dang, Lord, I'm cut open. And I know we want it to be about this. Well, I got to love myself better so I can love other people. When it's really about that, I don't even love God. And if you don't want to be that person who's like, Jesus, Jesus, right? I know all 12 minutes of Oceans. Let me in. And he's like, I don't know you. You don't love me. You never cared about my ways, about my order. Like, let's not have any of us be that person. So you need to get truth in here to hear. We need to stop being a people talking about symptoms. That's why Jesus, what is it that you need to do? Love God. And then when you love God, you'll see yourself more like he sees you, and you'll love yourself. And you'll see other people more like how he sees them, and you'll love them too. I won't have to tell you to not steal from them because you love them. You wouldn't want to steal what's theirs. Let's pray. Lord, keep bringing your truth to us, Lord. Deliver us from a perverse, confused, and evil generation. Lord, as Jesus prayed, like, not that we'd be taken out of this world, but that we would be protected from the evil one. That we'd be kept in your name, we'd be kept in your word, we'd be kept in your truth, Jesus. Let us be a people desperate for your truth, for your words, Lord, for your ways. Continue to teach us, Lord, how much you love us and how is it that we might love you from that. And then the other things, Lord, I know all these things will be added into us. Lord, we just take this time. I know that this is a way in which we can love you, is just to hear truth sung about you and join in proclaiming that truth louder than the doubt. Louder than the confusion of this world, louder than the small K king of this world, louder than his lies, that we would just proclaim truth over that and believe that, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.